Hey guys, this is Mo Sider from the Detroit Red Wings. You guys listening to Lockdown Red Wings.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. I'm your host, Brian Fisher, and 97.1 The Ticket producer. With me, as always, is Scotty Bentley, other host here at Locked On Red Wings and host of Locked On Tigers. And Scotty, it is a beautiful Tuesday for hockey.
It's a beauty, man. It's a beauty. I'm doing all right. No baseball for me today, which always makes for some long days where I'm figuring out what to do with my life. No Red Wings and no baseball. So, definitely my two of my biggest passions there out the window. Always makes for an exciting evening. But I might catch up on some crappy reality TV. As longtime listeners know, I'm a big fan of The Bachelorette.
Oh,
we got
man.
That. Maybe I'll go watch an episode of that or something. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a blast. When this episode comes out, it will be Tuesday morning, which does mean it is a Red Wings game day as of
Absolutely.
Listening to this. They do play the Montreal Canadiens in Montreal. Feels like we just did this episode a couple weeks ago. But now the big difference is Montreal shelled us last time the Red Wings were out there. They shelled the Red Wings.
Yes.
So we're hoping for a different turnout this time. But there's a lot of question marks on the roster this week compared to last week. So we'll get into that preview. We'll get into what the Red Wings lineup might look like. And to start things off, we're going to say thank you to the listeners. And we're going to talk about a little bit of some more Sider fun facts the Detroit Red Wings revealed that we just thought were hilarious. You know, the lighthearted episode, nothing too intense. But before we get to that, I do have to thank the listeners for making Locked On Red Wings your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. That's Spotify, Apple, Google Cast, Odyssey, which 97 on the ticket is an Odyssey station. Fun fact, sometimes I hear Locked On Pistons and Locked On Lions commercials playing on the station, and I'm like,
They just don't like me. Anything I'm a part of, they don't advertise.
I'm like, damn, how do I get a part of this? I work at the station and I'm host of Locked On Red Wings. What's going on here?
Anything Scott Bentley is a part of does not get advertised on 97.
What did you do, man? What did you do?
Piss
him
off? I did get into a shouting match with Mike Vileni when I was like 16. I think that might have something to do with it.
Mike Vileni gets he knows all the ads that are going to air on the commercials.
He does.
Scotty Bentley.
Man, who hasn't gotten into a yelling match with that guy, though, you know?
Yeah, Mike Vileni, man, he's a very passionate fellow. So
He is. I'm sure he had a great weekend, too.
Well, you know what's funny is, and we're already getting off topic, but he was one of the few people at the station who actually picked Michigan to win. I think it's one of those, like, emotional hedging situations where you pick opponent to win so that if they do win, you're like, oh, well, I got it right. But if your team wins, you're like, hell yeah, I was wrong.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, yeah, it's a smart play. Big brain play.
He was wrong, but his team still won. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. We're here to talk about Red Wings hockey like we are every day, because it's your team every day.
Every day.
first, I do want to give a big shout out to all of you listeners. We had a fantastic month of October. I tweeted about it earlier. And then we had a fantastic week last week. For the third straight week, we broke our weekly record in downloads. Three straight weeks of breaking weekly records. That's mm-hmm. insane. And then this last week, we were the third biggest Locked On hockey podcast. Third most downloads. I think it was second only to the Blackhawks, which understandably so, given everything that's going on, how many mm-hmm. downloads, on top of the fact that Bushman does such a fantastic job with that. And then the juggernaut that has become the Locked On Senators at number one. And we've talked about that extensively. They are an awesome podcast.
Yes. No. Yeah. It's three consecutive weeks of breaking the Locked On Red Wings all time week best weeks. That's pretty cool to say, especially slating in with obviously a host change. Just absolutely awesome all around.
Yeah, and going, you know, Nolan was responsible. You and Nolan were responsible for two of those awesome weeks, and then I slide in here and I've been gifted a Larkin OT winner and a Lucas Raymond hat trick. So it's been an awesome 3 weeks to be a Red Wings fan. So I just wanted to thank you guys, because it really, honestly, could not be done without you, the listener. And that's just, absolutely. I want to make sure that we never forget to thank the listeners, because they are what makes this possible. They really are.
Absolutely, baby. Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's also cool just because, I mean, obviously, because of the new setup of the show and because of the you coming in and new hosts sliding in, having that to be able to build on, it really makes us very excited for what we can continue to do and more stuff we can do going forward.
Yeah, and we're trying to do more and new stuff. Scotty, have been talking, you know, off air, off podcast, I guess off. Can you say on air when we're not live? I don't really know.
I don't know.
We've been talking off air a lot about things we could do to, you know, make this even better and make a be even better program for you, the listener. But from there, let's get into this Moritz Seider thing that came out. And when I say came out, it's not like it was a scandalous article or anything, but the Detroit Red Wings tweeted out this morning, you know, the breakfast break with Moritz Seider. And it was just a couple of easy questions, fun questions for him to answer. And the one that really just made us laugh and made us really realize how close-knit this core is, especially the rookies, is where they asked him, if you were stuck on an island with one teammate, who would you choose? And Scotty, he goes, the one answer he says is not Lucas Raymond.
You can tell that they're just like best friends, man. They did the clap test thing.
Yeah.
Before the season started, of like closing your eyes and clapping at the same time, they did it and they freaked out like two little kids. Just their relationship is it's adorable. Like I don't mean to call like another like grown men adorable, but it's adorable.
It really
like
it is.
And it's awesome. And it's very when you have two people that are such big cornerstones for the future of this franchise, you want to see them like that. You want to see them have a strong relationship like that and a strong bond. So on top of the fact of it just being objectively funny, it's also cool to see, because that's the future of the franchise right there in the embodiment of two people.
Yeah, well, it's honestly precisely what you just said. I mean, I not to reiterate literally what you just said, but like it is the cornerstone of the future. Like these two players are presumably going to be on this team for a long time. And to see them both clicking at such an early stage in their career as both rookies, I feel like they probably have some camaraderie there, and the fact that they're both the rookies on the team, both highly anticipated, to see them have fun together. And like, we're really like picking apart this one little question statement, but like it falls in line with everything we've seen so far with them. And like, it's off the ice, it's on the ice. Moritz Seider's, the Red Wings also tweeted out, Moritz Seider's on a 5-game point streak. He has an assist in each of the last 5 games. Lucas Raymond, we've seen what he's capable of. We talk about it every single day because it's just so exciting to watch. And they are, as this team continues to rebuild, like Lucas Raymond, Moritz Seider, if they're having fun and they're playing well, then you know this team is headed in the right direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and I mean, people have already talked about the leadership that Seider showed at the lower levels too, like a possible A in his future, you know what I mean? Like that's
already, man.
That right. Like that's just that, and especially on defense, like that's just it's so cool to see. My I think my favorite answer of his was actually off day hobby, where it was brunch. there was no like, oh, I like to play video games, or oh, I like to watch TV or whatever. Like, what do you do on your off days, Mo? And he's like, I eat more food.
That was
my favorite.
That falls in line with his go-to breakfast food is this, guys. This is a professional athlete, mind you. Professional athlete. His go-to breakfast food is frozen Eggo waffles.
And I love that one because it's not, he didn't just say waffles. He Eggo. Specified that it is Eggo waffles. He didn't just say, oh, I like a Belgian, or oh, I just like waffles. He wanted to clarify Eggo waffles.
I mean, you would think a German defenseman would love Belgian waffles, but apparently not.
You would think.
But big on frozen.
He's a big Eggo guy. Lego my Eggo, man. He's a big Eggo guy.
Maybe that's why he doesn't want Lucas Raymond on the island with him. He doesn't want him stealing his Lego or his Eggo waffles. It comes together.
We got to the bottom of it.
I mean, it's silly. It's fun, but it like I've said, it falls perfectly in line with everything we've seen so far, where like they're clearly having fun. They're clearly enjoying it. And like, that is such a, I mean, it's not an insignificant part of what is going to make this team good going forward. if you want a team to be good, they have to be having fun. A team that has fun is going to be good, vice versa, you know, and just to see that these rookies come in, and maybe it's because it's so early in the career or so early in the season as well, that they haven't really like all the media attention hasn't kind of like put the pressure on them. Maybe they're just laid back people. But like right now, early in the season, like you can tell they're just enjoying the sport of hockey, and it translates on the ice. And I'm not trying to like look too deeply into this. It's not that this means that they're good. It's that they're good is because they're having fun because they're good, and vice versa. It's a mix of both. It's not just one distinct thing. You know, I'm not trying to break down one word answers, but it falls in line with everything we've seen from this entire season so far.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And the Red Wings are very much also realize that they have these two kids that everybody knows is going to be the future. And they have a good friendship and a fun friendship on top of that. And they're marketing the hell out of it they should. And that's good for Red Wings hockey. So it's good for me.
Well, they also tweeted out like calendar wallpapers today. And who are the two players featured on the two calendar wallpapers? Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider. I mean, they know what they're doing. The team Absolutely. Has a vision. The team knows what it's doing. Good marketing campaign. But
good marketing campaign.
We have real stuff to get to on the other side of this break. We're going to talk about the Montreal Canadiens and how possible missing pieces in this lineup for tomorrow could affect what the lineup looks like on the forward core. We'll get back to that and more on the other side of this break. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live and another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's a no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Larkin, Raymond, open, scores!
Hat trick.
Lucas Raymond with the hat trick!
Wow.
Set up by Larkin and Seider! And the Red Wings have a 6-3 lead, 7 into the third. Congratulations, Lucas Raymond!
All right, Scotty, as we come back here, so there's some possible news on the injury front. On Monday in Montreal, Dylan Larkin did not skate. And I believe you told me he was listed as questionable for the game tonight in Montreal. And on top of the fact that Adam Ernie has been listed as day-to-day and Bertuzzi, as we all know, cannot play in Canada, that's, I won't say three big holes, two big holes and just another hole in Adam Ernie being out. No
for
offense
sure.
to Adam Ernie, but just, you know, top line minutes versus bottom line
for
minutes.
Sure.
It raises a very interesting question as to, with two of your top line forwards out, what would this lineup look like in Montreal? And I think that's what this segment's going to be, is speculating who your top line, your second line, your third line is going to be. And I don't know if you want to lead it off here and give me your hypothetical first line, but we're usually on the same side with a lot of this. So I think we'll probably have similar lines.
Yeah, no. Well, for starters, I think looking at the wings, I think a lot of the questions come in at center.
Yes.
I think that's where a lot of the mixing and matching is going to happen. And also on top of that, we have to remember that Blashill is the CEO of line mixing mid game. He like you can go into a game and have it listed being, hey, here are our four lines tonight, and then in the middle of the game see a lineup that wasn't even listed on like the pregame line. Like he will do that with ease. And that's, so it's important to have that, I don't want to say stipulation, but to have that in there of like this could, there's a lot of different things that could happen, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But I think at the wings, you're pretty much set with Raymond and Fabry being the wings at the top.
Yeah.
Because no Bert and Raymond's there anyway. So I think that's pretty safe to say. Center is where it gets interesting. I think the obvious choice would just be to put Suter up at first line C. And with if Larkin does not play, this is all under the assumption that Larkin doesn't play as well. Like you said, I think Suter would be the obvious choice, and I like a line of Suter, Fabry, Raymond. I like that. I don't think that's a bad line.
No, it's not a bad line. It's just not. I mean, honestly, we lack a number one center, in regardless. So it's going to be. Right. I wouldn't put. How do I say this? It's not a bad line, but is it a top line? No, but that sure. might be the best case scenario. And knowing Blashill, that's probably what he would go with. Slide Puce Suter played a lot of top line minutes last year with the Chicago Blackhawks because Jonathan Toews was out. So I logically, yeah, that makes sense. I would agree with you. Maybe instead of Robbie Fabry, I could see because Zadina can play both sides of the wing. Maybe Fabry slides Zadina in there. But I think the spicy decision, if you really want to mix it up, you have Joe freaking Valeno center that top line, his natural position with Lucas Raymond on the wing, and then either Zadina or Fabry. I'd probably say Fabry just because I think he's a little bit more consistent and well-rounded than Zadina is at this moment. You know, so if you have a Valeno, Raymond, Fabry line,
at that point,
let them loose. See what they can do.
Just do the top prospect line. Just do Valeno, Raymond, Zadina. Just roll it out there. Let that be line one, and then two. You have Suter, Fabry. I guess Nemestikov probably. I guess you could do Gagne. There's a few different things you could do, but then your second line could be slightly more established kind of players coming in for the second line. Just let all the kids run out there at the top. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Because then imagine, okay, so you're leading also on defense. You have Sider starting. He'll probably be playing with DeKaiser. But imagine if he played with like Nick Leddy instead. Imagine that top line of Valeno, Raymond, Zadina, Sider, and Nick Leddy. As like just all the young guys plus Nick Leddy out there, just let them
even
let
Heroic.
Them
you can do Heroic. Yeah, I mean that'd be weird.
Total chaos. Let's just do all the young guys.
You could throw Heroic out there with Sider, put him on the left for some reason, and just see what happens.
Like I know it's not something you and we're saying this like half tongue in cheek because without Larkin and Bertu, what Larkin's a questionable. He might still play tomorrow, but we're presuming he doesn't. And Bertuzzi definitely out, you know, your top line has a giant, massive hole in it. And so we're saying this like half tongue in cheek, but I legitimately do kind of want to see what Joe Valeno can do on the top line. Cause we saw what he did against a team that's been poor at the start of the season, but a very talented roster against Toronto Maple Leafs. And with second line minutes, I'd love to see what he could do thrust into that center role with Calder Trophy finalist favorite Lucas Raymond on the wing. I mean, I feel like it's something I want to see tried out, especially against a team like the Montreal Canadiens that is kind of, especially with the news today, which we'll get into with Perreault going out, getting hurt. We'll get into that. That's a whole thing. I feel horrible for him. Cole Caulfield getting sent down. Like, this is a team that's down and out. They thrashed you last time, but they aren't a good team. Try it. Let's see what the rookies have. I would totally be down for Valeno and Lucas Raymond on the top line together with if Larkin ends up being out. Let's try it.
It'd be fun, man. It'd be fun. And then you'd have, I mean, so if we staple in the fun line, we'll call it, the top, then the lines two and three then become absolute chaos. Especially the third line just becomes mayhem. So I guess you would have to have then Suter at 2C.
Yep.
Fabry would be on the wing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess you would just move Gagne up. Or I mean, Vlad's had a good year so far.
Vlad can play all three positions on the four.
Right. You're right. That's also fair. I guess you might want, with how good of a year Vlad's having, maybe you want him to stay on the third to kind of give the bottom line some more depth. But and then the third line then becomes what? I mean, Vlad, Rasmussen, Smith, Rowney. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot, man. If Larkin doesn't play, this is like actually what Blashill is going to have to go through tomorrow or tonight as you're listening to this and figure out how these lines are going to match up, because it's going to be I don't want to say thin, because it's not like long term, like people being out like Burt is
tomorrow
is
will
only
be tough though.
Right. Absolutely. And it's going to be tough to mix and match and figure out which people you want where.
Yeah. And so you're completely right. I'm looking at this now and I'm looking at guys like there's no scratches that are healthy scratches, so to speak. Like Bertuzzi is, but isn't. Like he can't physically play in Canada.
Right.
He can't cross the border. And so Adam Ernie is hurt. He's day to day. They don't expect him to be out long. So, I mean, wondering what that injury is. Maybe he plays tomorrow. I'm not quite sure when he got placed on day-to-day. I think it was on Saturday or Sunday. So maybe he gets healthy in time. But without Dylan Larkin, you are looking at a roster that suddenly does have actual, like, we've been joking about, like, holes, but they legit would be missing a winger or a center. So do you call another body up to fill a bottom-line minute? In that case, you call Taro Hirose up. I don't think he's waiver exempt at this point. So
I think it would be Hirose.
Yeah, and he can play left wing, so you slot him in on the wing, maybe Riley Barber or Kyle Chris Coolio. I can't pronounce his last name. Bad on me. I should know that. I will own up. I should know how to pronounce that. But like, who do you call? It's got to be Taro Hirose, logically speaking.
It's got to be Hirose, I think. Yeah.
So I'm not sure if he's waiver exempt at this point, but I'm also not worried about him getting claimed. So, but it would just
I don't know,
be,
man. It's gonna be weird, and I think, I think that this will be. It is. How do I even word this? It is nice that this is happening against a team that's struggling as much as Montreal is.
Yeah,
because you're gonna have to ask people to step up that don't usually have as much weight on their shoulders on a game to game basis. Doing it against, even though we got thrashed last time. Doing it against a team that is struggling the way Montreal is definitely best case scenario for the Wings.
Yeah, and it is also possible that if all the worst case scenario does happen and Larkin and Ernie can't play tomorrow, as it's looking like it might be the case, and they do have a legitimate hole that they just have enough forwards for, it's possible that they just like rotate a center or a winger. That's something NHL teams have done before. And if that's the case, man, I'm looking at our lineup and we've talked about it, but like to give like a full rundown for the listener, we're looking at fun line number one. That's our wish list. That's what we want. We're not talking logically,
it's
our wish list. Valeno center, Raymond on the wing and Zadina on the other wing. And then you're looking at Pew Suter with Robbie Fabry. And we agreed on what? Sam Gagner.
I think makes the most sense there.
I think him or Namestnikov would be fine. Namestnikov is on hot streak. He's tied for second on the team in goals, I think, right now.
Yeah, with, nice four piece. Yeah.
Yeah, right with Lucas Raymond at second. Yeah, didn't see that one coming. So then your third line, keep Michael Rasmussen there at center with Namestnikov or Gagner, slide up Giovanni Smith or Carter Rowney, and then your fourth center is Mitchell Stevens with either Smith, Rowney, and question mark whether or not they call up somebody or not, or they just rotate.
Right. Yeah.
That's what we're looking at right now.
And I don't think that's
not awful.
I think that could be a fun game. And especially against, like I said, against a team that's struggling like Montreal is. There's some production to be had there, man. I don't know.
In the top six, yeah, but that bottom six would really, really concern me.
It would. Giovanni Smith just going to cause mayhem. Don't even worry about it.
That's what we're looking for a guy who doesn't have a single point so far this season in seven games played.
Correct.
Pure mayhem.
Pure mayhem.
No, we love him to death, but you know, you're not looking for him for depth scoring. That's why he plays in the fourth line. I shouldn't bag on him too much, but it is what it is.
It is.
And so we'll go to our second break here. And when we come back, we'll go a full-on preview mode for this matchup tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. The second matchup in 2 weeks in Montreal against the Canadiens. Some things have changed on their end on the injured list too. So we'll get to that right on the other side of this. It's time to talk about betonline.ag. They are back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to their new updated website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball playoffs, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Red Wings on a Bell Tire power play. Hronek, Decider, Zadina, scores!
That's the one-timer you want.
All right, Scotty, let's dive right in here to this breakdown, or not breakdown, but preview, rather, of the 4-3-2 Detroit Red Wings facing off in Montreal against the Canadiens. Detroit Red Wings are on a two-game losing skid. As listeners should know by now, they lost against Toronto on Saturday 5-4. And the day before that against Florida, they lost in overtime 3-2. Montreal not doing too much better, also on a two-game losing skid. Didn't have quite as good of a, even though the Red Wings lost, they fought really damn hard in those two games. Montreal lost 5-2 and 4-2 against the Kings, who aren't really that good, and the Ducks, who we all know are really, really bad. So they're eighth in the Atlantic Division right now, the Montreal Canadiens, and when it rains, it pours for them. They recently sent down their rookie, or not, I guess not a rookie anymore, but they sent down their 15th overall 2019 draft pick, Cole Caulfield, who was absolutely fantastic last year in the playoffs. He has not been good this year. He's in 10 games played, he has one assist and is a -3. So they sent him down, kind of from what I have understanding from our friends at Locked On Canadiens in our Locked On Hockey group chat, kind of saw that coming. Apparently hasn't been playing very well. Take a peek at his Corsi here. Although his possession metrics are pretty damn good. He got a 59.1. So, but you know, that doesn't tell the whole story. As we all know, sometimes the eye test is more telling than the advanced metrics. And in 1 point in 10 games, you know, you got to do better than that with how he's playing. And then the other one, Matthew Perreault, who also isn't that great of a player, Scotty, did score that natural hat trick. Came out that he is going to be out for a little bit. He apparently started seeing double vision the other day and had to have laser eye surgery because they found out he has a degenerative disease in his eyes that caused his retinas to become detached. This is a week after scoring a natural hat trick against the Detroit Red Wings.
You got a feel for the guy. I just learned this before we started recording.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. So obviously, like you know, best of wishes to him. That's a hell of a life event, nonetheless, a hockey event to happen to someone. But the Cole Caulfield emotion's interesting, man. He obviously he went fifth overall in 2019, if I remember right. 15, yeah. So like he very much like that is someone who has been talked about in Habs land for a little bit and was having a, you know, came, he's played this year and his average time on ice is like less than 15 minutes. So he hasn't been like a huge part of anything, but definitely something to keep an eye on. He dude can't even legally drink yet. So, you know, time will tell, but Definitely, an interesting storyline to keep an eye on.
Well, and I can't sit here and say I'm not one of those guys who is going to come on here and say like I'm expert on all NHL. I know obviously my Red Wings hockey, and I'm pretty well versed. I'd like to think on like the big names outside. So I haven't been able to like really keep close tabs on Cole Caulfield. Last I had heard, he seemed as if he was doing good job at Montreal. We saw him in the playoffs. It seemed like he was on fire. And he had 12 points in 20 games played last year in the playoffs for Montreal. I mean, he was pretty good for him. And so it was shocking to me when I saw the news that he had sent down. I'm like, whoa, what happened? Because he was really good in the playoffs. And just to see he only had 1 point in 10 games played so far this season, that was a little bit shocking to me. And yeah, I mean, that's just, you look at the Montreal Canadiens and they're really down and out. Obviously, we all know they lost Shea Weber to, he retired. Carey Price mm-hmm. went into an assistance program for, he's battling his own set of demons. And, mm-hmm. You know, I'm hoping that Carey Price, being a phenomenal goaltender that he is, can, you know, get back to the NHL at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that, those are two big needs that are roles that just, you lost your Hall of Fame caliber goaltender. You lost
your two best players.
You lost your captain. Yeah, you lost your two best players. Yeah, thank you for just summing it up for me.
Yeah, I mean, after you just went to the Stanley Cup and the following season lost like comfortably your two best players, and one of them was pretty much the sole reason you even made it to the Cup in Carey Price. I mean, with that, he put up one of the most unbelievable playoff runs in the history of goaltending. Then you come back the next year and you don't have that. They needed to push the youth movement. Caulfield's someone that the organization, the fan base seem to be pretty high on. And so him getting sent down, especially right before doing it right before the Wings game is interesting to me, because that is someone who, That's a matchup who in the past, like in 1920, that would have been a matchup that teams would have looked at and say, okay, this is an opportunity for the young kids to get back on track. This is a gimme win. The young kids can maybe find some confidence that they didn't have before. And now they're doing it before the Wings game. It's like, okay, this is no longer a pushover team that maybe Caulfield can gain some confidence in. He needs to go back, and not that the Red Wings scared them to demoting him or anything, but just cutting off the leash at the Wings game and not giving him that extra, okay, let's see, you know, let's give him one more game against a horrible team and see what happens. That's no longer the case. So that's at least nice to see, I guess.
Yeah, it's just, you look at this game tomorrow and both teams are going to have issues with depth. If Dylan Larkin doesn't play, now Perreault's out. They sent down Cole Caulfield. We know Bertuzzi can't play. Ernie's also a maybe as he's day to day. So it's becoming harder and harder to predict the outcome. I mean, every hockey game is, you know, it's up in the air. It's the hockey. It's mm-hmm. a game of luck in a lot of aspects. You would look at this and you'd be like, oh, Red Wings win all day. But then you look at last weekend and they got shelled by Montreal in Montreal 6-1. It becomes harder to predict the outcome of this game when both lineups are just absolutely shattered. Right off the get-go, our defensive core is in play. I guess we're not as shattered as they are. Like, you know, obviously we have our own set of injuries with Vrana out long-term, Dylan Larkin and maybe. But I even with all these detriments to the Montreal Canadiens roster, I can't necessarily count them out because of what happened last weekend. And that might be a pessimistic view, but it's just the viewpoint you need to have with any hockey game. You can never guess, you know, count any team out. Logically, I want to say the Wings are going to win, but it's any given game, right?
Yeah, and obviously the last time we played them, we got throttled, right?
Yeah, I mean, which is leaning into why I'm so like a little bit pessimistic.
Yeah, exactly. We literally watched them absolutely dismantle us. I keep coming up with different adjectives to describe the loss. Just blew us out last time. So, the no Bert thing has been something to keep. That has been his absence has been very clear. Just Bert alone, nonetheless, missing out on Ernie, who gives us depth at the bottom lines, and then potentially the captain. Like that's going to be a big hurdle to overcome. But if there was a team on the upcoming schedule that you wanted to do that to, I would say that Montreal is probably the team you'd want to pin that to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just played two hard fought games and lost against two good hockey teams. We've talked about it. Toronto might have a losing record right now, but they are on paper a great hockey team that I think will turn it around. Obviously, we know how great a start Florida got off to. So I genuinely think that this is a great game to stop the skid, a great opportunity to stop the skid, but you have to not come out underestimating them like the Red Wings clearly did last weekend. I think it's very possible they could beat them. I think they could beat them handily, but I just know what they did to us last week. And as long as the Red Wings also remember, which I have faith that they remember probably way better than I do, I think that they'll get the W, and it should come out on top regardless of which goaltender is in net, because I think they've both played pretty decently so far. in recent games.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the biggest thing is just, as we talked about on yesterday's show, the status of Joe Valeno. He's going to play. He's going to be there because all the other people that are out, Valeno certainly is the decision of whose roster spot he's going to take is certainly not going to happen in Tuesday night's game against Montreal. He will definitely be in a wing wheel sweater.
Oh, also, before we wrap this up, I totally forgot to mention. So Max Boltman of The Athletic tweeted out, because yesterday we speculated what was going on in that conversation between the and Yzerman. Apparently, he did get some information on what was talked about, and I wanted to read that if my finger would stop swiping the wrong way on Twitter. He says, Joe Valeno did indeed, this is at @M_Boltman, Max Boltman of The Athletic, beat writer for the Detroit Red Wings. Joe Valeno did indeed drive with Steve Yzerman from Detroit tonight. Just thought it would be easier than going to the airport. They listened to the University of Michigan MSU football game, talked a bit, and Valeno slept a bit too.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Sounds like a pretty normal car ride. It kind of sucks because all our fun hypotheticals went out the window. But I wonder if I wonder if Joe got his fingernails painted.
Hey, they still look good though. Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking fly, man.
Look at that. Yeah. Look at that. Still look good. I had somebody DM me today and say they wanted to see him. And if people are like, oh, I heard on the show. Like, I want to sound like, all right, dude, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'll tweet out a picture.
Yeah, just your hands like this. Nails. Like you had just gotten a pedicure.
Yeah, like this.
Or is
yeah.
it a manicure? Looking I forget good, which man. One it is. It's manicure.
I think Manny is the hands, I think.
So, yeah.
And then pedicure is feet. Yeah, I think that's right.
All right. Any final thoughts on today's episode at Bentley Scotty on Twitter?
Send us questions for a mailbag.
Yes, we're doing a mailbag episode on, we're recording it Wednesday night. So Wednesday is your last chance to tweet us mailbag questions or go on Facebook, comment, at us, do that.
DM, at, comment, reply to tweets, yeah. Do whatever. Just
at
get us
@LO_Red Wings. Yeah, please do that. We want to do a mailbag episode. We want to respond to your questions. Definitely do that. And before we sign off, thanks for making Locked On Red Wings your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Collin leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy hockey league. It's free and available on all platforms. We will catch you guys tomorrow after the hockey game. We'll record a Red Wings recap. Same time, same place. It's your team every day.
Hell yeah, baby. You nailed it. Every day.
Every day.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.